Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the Yanks Go Yard podcast with Adam Weinrib and Thomas Carinante.
Oh, welcome on in, everybody. Monday episode of the Yanks Go Yard podcast here. Thomas Carinante, your host today. Adam Weinrib, still out on vacation. I'm on my own again. Sing with me, Shrek. I can't wait to get on the road again. We have a Yankee series to recap in Boston. What did we tell you? I think we told you exactly what we told you. Yankees drop the series, lose the last two games, Saturday and Sunday, on national television. Classic. You knew that was coming, please. I mean, if you're upset, you're upset. I get it. But at this point, it's learned behavior for this team. It's in their DNA. They do not succeed at Fenway. The Red Sox get the better of them in bigger moments, with the exception of a handful since 2004. So it's a reality we just have to live with. But there were some troubling performances in there that we have to address, other issues that occurred that we must address. Please subscribe and like our channel on YouTube. We appreciate you guys tuning in with us every Monday and Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, live right here. We're having a great time this season. Lots of good stuff to talk about surrounding the Yankees, but unfortunate discussions we need to have about these tougher topics. We're also writing plenty of content on yanksgoyard.com. Head on over there. You can talk to us on the official Yanks Go Yard Twitter account as well, at Yanks Go Yard FS. We'll remind you all of that when the show concludes as well, so you don't forget. And before we get into things, per usual, we have an offer for you guys. Caesars Sportsbook is here. They're looking to cover your first bet up to $1,000. New customers will get a second chance bet up to $1,000 when you sign up with our promo code YGY1000. That means if your first bet loses, you will get your full wager returned as a bonus bet. Again, up to $1,000. So you could do 50, you could do 100, you could do 500, you could do 700, you could do 1,000. All that is covered. Caesars also offers daily profit boosts and Caesars rewards credits on every wager, which can be redeemed for bonuses, sports tickets, other VIP experiences, you name it. Signing up with our code YGY1000 not only covers your first bet, but it also gets you access to their fantastic rewards program. So if you're going to join Caesars, or you know somebody else who might want to be a first-time user, go download the app, register with our promo code again. That is YGY1000, and make sure that first bet is covered. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. All righty, everybody. So where do we start? Man, we got Alex Verdugo on Friday night. And what a moment that was. He hopped right back into Fenway since that trade in the offseason that blindsided him. He admitted he was upset by it, betrayed by it. And then here we are. He goes 3-for-4, homers on the first pitch that he sees. Drives in 4 runs. Yankees win 8-1. Luis Gil once again dominant on the mound. He goes 5 innings, 1 earned, strikes out 6. Labored a bit, threw 104 pitches, but he had the run support. The bullpen picked him up when they needed to. It got a little bit shaky there for a moment, but all was well. Friday night victory, following up that Thursday defeat that was really tough to deal with. Losing in walk-off fashion to the Royals. We were live during that game. Right as we logged off, the Yankees went on a run. They tied that one and then took the lead late. Clay Holmes coughed it up. Some shaky defense in there as well. But everything was – this team has responded to losses that we haven't seen in a while. Like, they shake off a loss like that. Last week they shook off – or 2 weeks ago they shook off those two tough Mariners losses to split the series. There's been plenty of times this year where they've been tested in the later innings, failed, and then come back the next day to stick it to the opposition. And it felt like this was another one of those moments. The Red Sox just came off a series win against the Phillies. They were feeling themselves. The Yankees come into town, boom, 8-1 victory, set the tone for the next day, which was Carlos Rodon versus Cooper Criswell. On paper, should have been a victory, right? Doesn't always go that way. I like when people talk pitching matchups this day and age. Oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so should win because they have the starting pitching matchup edge. Not really how it works, man, but thanks for coming and trying. The Yankees were powered by Verdugo in that first game. They had all that momentum, right? They had the Verdugo narrative on their side. Everybody, every publication, including us, we wrote about it too, laughing about how the Red Sox thought this would be a viable solution for them. They thought they'd be offloading a problem on the Yankees, potentially disrupting their chemistry and setting them off, you know, off track for the 2024 season. Instead, Verdugo, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, whether you like it or not, has been a driving force on this team, personality-wise, clutch hitting. Like we talked about, his stats do not jump off the page. But when you go and dig deeper, he's incredibly successful with runners in scoring position. He's incredibly successful in high-leverage situations. He plays gold glove caliber defense in left field, which is something the Yankees have been missing for 3 years now. And it's been almost everything that this team has needed in terms of lighting a spark, playing fundamental baseball, bringing that edge. When he was rounding the bases, he was showing up the Boston crowd. It's like, that's the stuff that you want to see from a team that has 50 wins. That is the best in Major League Baseball. Got to talk it up, got to back it up, got to make sure the opponent knows that you're not backing down, that you're here to talk trash, and that's how it's going to be. It's going to be a long evening or afternoon for you when you're facing the New York Yankees. Alex Verdugo has let the opposition know that. But what do the Yankees do? They roll into Saturday. Overall, just fairly lifeless performance. They go down 3-0. DJ LeMahieu tries to bring him back into it with a 2-run single. And then Carlos Rodon can't keep it close. He ends up going 5 innings, 5 earned, 7 hits, 3 walks, 109 pitches, only 67 strikes. He struck out 7 batters, which was positive. But by the time he left the game, that was pretty much it. It was 5-2. Soto goes yard in the 7th to make it 5-3. Bullpen can't get it done. Ron Marinaccio gives up a run. Victor Gonzalez gives up a run. In the end, it's an 8-4 loss. What are you going to do? Okay, you lose Saturday, whatever. Interestingly enough, Friday's not a nationally televised game. Yankees walk right through it like it's nothing. Saturday, of course, is on Fox. You know, look, we had bad at-bats in that game. The team went 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position. That Giancarlo Stanton strikeout with the bases loaded was horrific. But again, what are you going to do? That's exactly why we've been talking about bringing up Jason Dominguez. Can't do that right now. We'll get to that in a minute. He's on the injured list. But Giancarlo Stanton doesn't need to be playing every day. That's not the bat you want in that situation for the most part, especially when you're facing a pitcher who throws sliders. He's naturally going to be swinging in the other batter's box, but yep, they go 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Obviously, yeah, it not the worst, also could be better. You can't leave 9 on base. You can't only get 6 hits against mediocre pitching. Cooper Criswell started this game. Justin Slayton came in. Brennan Bernardino came in. Former Yankee Greg Weissert, and then Kenley Jansen. Like that's not a 6-hit game. Got to be better than that. So whatever. Saturday's a wash. You know, you're playing in Fenway. It's tough. You're not walking out of there with a sweep. You know that's happening. So what's next? Sunday Night Baseball. What do we have on Sunday Night Baseball? Oh man, it's Marcus Stroman versus Cutter Crawford. Marcus Stroman, arguably coming off what, his best-ish stretch of the season. He's been honestly consistently one of the more effective Yankee starters all year. I know he had that hiccup against Minnesota. The Yankees ended up winning that game two starts ago, but he just came off that outing against the Royals, 5 2/3, 0 earned runs, 4 walks, 4 hits, 3 walks, in a 10-1 win. So he had all the confidence behind him. Red Sox backs against the wall a little bit. Cutter Crawford was on the mound for this one. He has not been great lately. And on top of that, the Red Sox defense has killed him against the Phillies. He went six innings, two earned, but gave up 4 because the defense was bad. Against the Braves, 6 innings, 4 earned, 6 runs because the defense was bad. Against Baltimore, 6 innings, 5 earned runs. Against Milwaukee, 4 1/3, 6 earned runs. So he's had a stretch of like 4 not good starts. And what do the Yankees do? Let him right back in it. 6 innings, 3 earned, 1 walk, 3 hits, 9 strikeouts. And that wasn't even the biggest problem. The biggest problem was Stroman getting rocked early on. He goes 5 innings, 4 earned, 7 hits, 4 walks, 102 pitches. The Yankee starters, all of them, Luis Gil, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, labored in this series against very much an inferior Red Sox lineup. I know that this Boston team is battling. They have a lot of injuries. They're making sure to stay on top of the game plan because they do have a lot of good pieces on this team. Alex Cora has done a solid job putting together what he's had. And I think this team eternally kind of has this fire under them because of the disrespect from ownership. John Henry, all that stuff we talked about last week. The front office still largely making penny pinching moves, uncompetitive offers to top free agents, short-sighted trades. You could still, again, argue the Verdugo one, argue the Chris Sale one, argue letting Xander Bogaerts go. I know that's looking okay in hindsight, but there's been less of a juggernaut feel surrounding the Red Sox, and now it's turned into like a mid-market feel, uninspiring, bad baseball. They lead the league in errors, lead the league in unearned runs. Offense is middling. So nonetheless, they're an athletic team, and they proved that on Sunday night. What happened on Sunday night? Oh, thanks for asking. What happened on Sunday night? The Red Sox stole a franchise record 9 bases off Jose Trevino. They won the game 9-3. The game was much closer than that. But the moment for the Yankees came when they completely blew it in the 7th inning. Top of the 7th inning, they're down 4-3. They end up loading the bases with nobody out. Unfortunately, the play that they ended up loading the bases on was a weak ground ball off the bat of Anthony Rizzo. Dominic Smith, Red Sox first baseman, fields it, bobbles it, looks to go to second, realizes he's too late, then goes to first, makes a bad throw to the pitcher who was covering the bag. Pitcher outstretches his arm, tries to get it, can't get it because it's a bad throw, collides with Anthony Rizzo at first base. Rizzo awkwardly lands on his arm. He leaves the game. There's a pause in play a bit there. Red Sox make a pitching change. Gleyber Torres is up next. Okay. Bases loaded, nobody outs, down by 1. Put the ball in play. I think that's the move. As much as I would have hated to see it, a double play ball that scored a run would have been better what Gleyber Torres did. Gleyber Torres gets ahead in the count 3-0. And this has been a problem for the Yankees all year, which is something that we have to address. They're not swinging in hitters' counts. They are letting the pitcher get back into the at-bat by lobbing strikes over the plate. So who was in for this one? I think it was Zach Kelly. Yeah, Zach Kelly comes in. Drops 2 more pitches right over the heart of the plate. Gleyber stares at them. Couldn't have been more obvious he was looking for the walk. It would have relieved so much pressure for him. He wouldn't have had to put the ball in play. He wouldn't have had to make an aggressive play on a swing. But here you are. Now you're in a full count. You're not getting a free pitch. Of course, the pitch that was probably the worst one of the at-bat, nowhere close, Gleyber swings at it, strikes out, sets an awful tone for the remainder of the inning. Jose Trevino comes up next. Another terrible strikeout. It was a downright awful at bat, but at least Jose Trevino has been productive this year. So you can't really get on him as much as you can get on Gleyber, who's very much not been productive. And then DJ LeMahieu puts a charge into one to center field, kind of a rocket line drive, but that would have been good with 1 or no outs. Can't do that with 2 outs. So the Yankees do not score after loading the bases with nobody out. And then immediately in the next inning, the Red Sox take a 7-3 lead. Rafael Devers single. Connor Wong triple. That's Caleb Ferguson for you, man. So this is it got out of hand really quick. Again, another nationally televised game that you just can't stand seeing. It's more of the same from the Yankees. It's more of this lying down. You can't have your best hitters in this one go. What, Volpe, Soto, Judge, Verdugo, Stanton went 4-for-19, which I guess isn't the worst, but they only produced one run, and it was an Aaron Judge solo shot in the first inning. Judge then struck out three times after that. Again, not complaining, but this is just the reality against the Red Sox. Aaron Judge, career-wise, very bad player against the Red Sox. It's really unfortunate. So this is a team that the Yankees cannot afford to lose too many games against, especially this year. You know, you play, this is the first time they're playing the Red Sox. Sky is not falling, folks. First series came in the middle of June. I don't know who makes the schedule or why they did that, but there's 10 matchups left here. The Red Sox are a bad team. It's plain and simple. They don't have the talent. They do have the grit. They do have the baseball IQ for the most part. They don't have the talent. They don't have the depth. They don't have the big game experience at this point. When you look at these, the players assembled on this roster, the Yankees cannot afford to split the season series with the Red Sox, or, you know, not be three games on top when all is said and done.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
I don't know what more to kind of elaborate upon here. We told you in the beginning, yep, on paper, you should win all three of these games probably. You have the better pitching matchups. You have the better lineup. But you don't have the results. Fenway Park shrinks every time we go there. You have guys like Connor Wong hitting triples. There's always weird stuff happening. And that's pretty much been... that's been Red Sox Yankees since 2004. And if you're denying that at this point, then you're a bit delusional. But thankfully, they get a day to reset today. We're off today. No Yankees baseball before series against the O's, which will prove to be crucial because these teams are neck and neck in the AL East. The only reason the Yankees actually have the lead in the AL East is because they've played more games than the Orioles. They are 50-24, and the Orioles are 47-24. So it's a three games in the win column, ends up being 1.5 games back for the O's. Yankees lost 3 of 4 in Baltimore last time they played. So this is going to be a crucial series again. Again, thankfully, they have bounced back pretty well. So I am not entirely worried about them starting the series off on a better note against the O's. But then again, the O's just kind of dispatch the Phillies rather quickly. And they come to the Bronx with a clear edge on, you know, the short porch and just their overall athleticism. It's a very good team, very young team, very fast team. And I think that you look at Sunday night, franchise record nine stolen bases against Jose Trevino. Alex Cora may have fully now expose the Yankees for something that can really come back to bite them. Jose Trevino is a great defensive catcher in many respects. Framing, excellent. Game calling, excellent. Blocking, excellent. No arm strength. One of the worst arm strengths in the league. He has caught only 19% of runners stealing this year. Terrible. And it's actually been a problem for two seasons now. Fans have caught a little bit more onto it. And I think the Red Sox fully exposed that on Sunday night. Not many of those plays were close. They were just having their way on the base paths. Obviously, that's on the pitching. Pitching needs to be a little bit more aware of the runners. They can't let that many guys steal. But Trevino, time and time. Even when he made that nice play, I forgot what series it was with the – oh, it was the who was at Yankee Stadium last week? It was the hilarious play where that guy that guy's leg stayed up on – oh, it was the, against the Dodgers, the swing bunt on – I think it was Friday night against the Dodgers or Sunday night against the Dodgers. Andy Páez had his leg in the air when he was sliding into third base on a little dribbler, and Trevino threw a 67 mile an hour throw to third base. Shouldn't have had him. Páez had him beat, but Páez had his leg off the bag. So that the Yankees lucked out on that play. But yeah, you look at his ability to get ahead of runners on the bases, make good throws. He makes accurate throws, but it's just not fast enough. So the Yankees are going to have to be really on top of that in this series against the Orioles, a very athletic team who's going to be able to take advantage of them in that regard. Still from this series, Anthony Rizzo's injury. I'm not saying that this is anything good, but at the very least, it could force the Yankees to make an uncomfortable decision with first base. Right now, they do not have any update on his status. He fell on his arm and looked like he bent his wrist or elbow. Brian Hoke reported today that the Yankees are concerned and Rizzo needs more imaging after his initial slew of tests. Last night, it was said that he exited the game and he would undergo imaging and see doctors today. Apparently, whatever preliminary stuff they did not reveal enough. So we're looking at a situation where either the Yankees are going to have to call somebody up from the minor leagues, or they're going to have to more seriously look at the trade deadline. Who can they acquire at the trade deadline? Obviously, at this point, we know that DJ LeMahieu can take over at first base, but for him as a full-time starter, still not sure about that. Bat's not really getting going. And what did he do in this series? Wasn't it 0 for 2 last night, 1 for 4 with 3 RBI on Saturday, did not play on Friday. So at this point, I think he's depth, utility, part-time action, which, you know, not a bad thing to have. He's a veteran. He has a solid bat. He has that versatility. It's going to help the Yankees in the end. But even with Rizzo in the picture, the Yankees' first, second, and third base situation are troubling. Rizzo has been bad this year. Again, the play that loaded the bases with nobody out should have been a double play with a runner on third, and then Gleyber Torres' strikeout doesn't look as bad as it does. But if they are concerned about the hand wrist injury, and even like forget about the seriousness of the injury, Rizzo's probably going to need an IL stint, right? Probably going to go beyond the 10 days, especially if the team's concerned. Probably beyond the 10 days, just looking at how he landed. He did not get up for a couple minutes. He had to be helped off the field. Aaron Boone immediately motioned for the medical staff and told and said that he had to be removed from the game. The problem with Rizzo has been his lack of consistency. Got hit in the head last year when the collision with Fernando Tatis Jr. on the base paths. What happens after that? He ends up playing 2 months of baseball with essentially brain damage. Then he goes on the IL for the remainder of the month and a half, 2 months of the season, comes back this year, and largely more of the same, obviously a little bit better than he was when he was fully impaired last season. But on the year so far, in addition, like the bigger concern here is the defense has been slipping massively, which is very uncharacteristic of Rizzo, who's had a very good MLB resume throughout his career. Like most players would kill to have the success Anthony Rizzo has, but overall batting .223 with a .630 OPS, 79 OPS plus. I know what you're thinking. Hey, he batted .224 in 2022 and that was a great year. Yeah. He also had an .817 OPS, a .130 OPS plus, 32 homers, 75 RBIs. Didn't strike out a lot, walked a bunch. This year, you're seeing increases in strikeouts, decreases in walks, and no power. He's slugging .341. So You combine that with some kind of like delay in his reaction time on defense. You have that play against the Royals where he's charging the ground ball and like there was confusion with him and Clay Holmes, and then he can't toss it to Holmes in time. I know Clay Holmes can't field his position worth a shit. He can't cover first base, but I don't know. Everything seems off with Anthony Rizzo. We hope he's okay, obviously, but at this point, this seems like it's going to be a week-to-week situation based on what the results are telling us. So we don't know what that's going to look like. Ben Rice promotion, I don't know. We were previously hoping for some sort of Jason Dominguez promotion, right? Maybe you get Dominguez into the big league picture as he's tearing up the minor leagues with maybe Aaron Judge playing first base. I don't know. Maybe DJ LeMahieu playing first base. Maybe giving Giancarlo Stanton some DH days off. I don't know. Feel like there's a way to be a little bit more flexible with this lineup and get even more quality at bats in there, because you know you're not getting quality at bats really from, or on a consistent basis, a whole lot from Rizzo, from Oswaldo Cabrera, from DJ LeMahieu. You're essentially, is it being harsh to say you're wasting bench spots on Trent Grisham and Jamai Jones? They don't play. They just don't log time. So it's like, why would you not rather cycle in superior talent to get, you know, 3-4 games of action on a weekly basis? And someone like Dominguez, who's clearly ready for major league action after A, showing what he was capable of last year, and B, breezing through his rehab assignment, returning to play on defense earlier than expected after Tommy John surgery, and then breezing through the last test after his rehab assignment. So I don't know. Anyway, Dominguez injured himself on a check swing on Sunday right before the Yankees Sunday night baseball game, so it added to the bad vibes. Left oblique injury, they're saying. No specificities there. I guess we could actually double check that to see what's going on right now. Because they didn't really have a whole lot of clarity. And I wonder if they were going to do some more testing today, but it appears like there are no updates on that front. He just immediately was placed on the injured list. Tweak near his left oblique. So minor league baseball Twitter account was saying, let's see if the Yankees announced anything. They probably didn't. They for sure did not. So he's going to be on the IL. We don't know how long that, you know how tricky oblique injuries get, man. Those could last weeks. And if you come back too soon, to action while you're dealing with rehabbing from one, it could be even longer than that. So Yankees are maybe feeling a little bit of the pressure from injuries right now, on with those two players. 'Cause look, even with Rizzo injured, that's a big part of the clubhouse. As much as fans have been getting on Rizzo recently for his poor play, and for him killing the team in these teams, for him killing the team in these bigger situations, which no one's going to deny at this point, it's been an obvious reality. He's nonetheless a big part of that clubhouse. Great relationship with Aaron Judge, who has him as his right-hand man. We've known that for a couple seasons now. So hoping Anthony Rizzo gets better. It's not looking great though. And we'll have hopefully some more updates on Jason Dominguez whenever the team gets them. Don't know how long that's going to take. The Yankees are notoriously bad on the injury update front or the injury clarity front. Good news, however, is Gerrit Cole will be making his return very soon. He had his final, I guess you could say, rehab assignment on June 14th. It was his third. He went 4 1/3 innings, allowed 2 hits, 0 earned runs, 0 walks, struck out 10 through 70 pitches. To me, that's ready for Major League Baseball. I don't know what else he needs to prove, obviously, and maybe going somewhere in between the 5 to 7 inning range, but I'd rather him get the quality 4 or 5 innings at the big league level and face the superior talent instead of doing another couple of rehab starts. I don't know. The pitching clearly needs a little bit of assistance right now. You know, you still have Cody Poteet in the rotation, which I think most fans are on board with, but the unit as a whole can get better with Cody Poteet in the bullpen. Maybe Nestor Cortez in the bullpen when Clark Schmidt returns, whenever that is. But Cole is very much ready. If you're looking at his effectiveness, his overall pitch mix, and the way that he's overwhelming inferior hitters, usually on these rehab assignments, like you'll see some setbacks in the form of, you know, a couple minor, you know, walking a bunch of batters, having a having an inning where a string of hitters just piece together hits against you. It hasn't really happened with Cole. He gave up one home run. Every other outing looked really good, even though some of them were abbreviated, but they have to be abbreviated at this point. He's working his arm strength back up, and he's trying to get back into form. But I would hope that it would be nice to see him maybe pitch the finale against the Orioles. Let's see if the Yankees named a starter for the series. Named all the starters for the series. Series starts tomorrow. Again, the Yankees have the day off, and it will be so they do not have a starter for Wednesday right now. It's Nestor Cortez on Tuesday, and it's Luis Gil on Thursday. We could pencil maybe Gerrit Cole in for the Wednesday start. That would put him on regular rest. That'd be a great return for him, man. I know the O's are a tough lineup, but we could use that type of energy in a really big series. Like I said, the O's took 3 of 4 last time. The Yankees have to make up ground here. If these two teams are neck and neck all season long, the head-to-head record is going to matter when all is said and done. And this is a home series, very crucial. The Yankees will see them one more time in Baltimore right before the All-Star break. So this is the time to capitalize. Of all the times to capitalize, this is it. So I'm going to give you a little abbreviated Yanks Go Yard podcast today, folks. I think that's it. It's a depressing recap series from Fenway Park, which, again, we told you was probably going to be a reality. You have more Gleyber Torres nonsense. What did he go in the series? I think he went 0 for 10. He left 11 runners on base. He went 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position. It's just simply unacceptable at this point. It's one of the worst contract years you're going to see in the modern era, arguably. I don't know how anybody's defending his play at this point. So really unsure of how this is going to go leading up to the deadline. John Heyman talked today about how the Yankees are looking to upgrade the bullpen ahead of the deadline, but you can't rule out first base, second base, or third base, especially if Rizzo is out for an extended period of time. And even if he's out again for a short amount of time, you cannot rely on him to come back and produce the way that you need him to. If he's not anywhere close to the back of his baseball card numbers, this team's not in good shape, because then you're relying on the top of the order to do all the damage. And then you're watching the bottom half of the lineup kind of wither away. And the whole point in building the team and constructing this lineup in the manner in which the front office did it was so it would be a relentless 1 through 9 with the back end of the lineup providing length and making it really difficult on the opposing starting pitcher to get through the order, you know, even 2 times. And these last few games have shown that that's not the case. So look, 50-24, again, can't complain. Best record in Major League Baseball, not going to complain. But obvious issues here, obvious kind of, you know, storyline in Fenway. The Yankees have to stop doing this against bad Red Sox teams. They allowed this to happen in 2022. Bad Red Sox team. Last year was a nightmare for both of them, but you know, even in 2021, when the Yankees theoretically had the better roster, they let the Red Sox get the best of them when they shouldn't have. It's all too familiar at this point. So anyway, that's it for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. Orioles game tomorrow night, Tuesday, Wednesday night, Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock. We're going to have hopefully a lot to discuss after that series. Hopefully better news stick it to the second best team in the American League. Show the fan base that you can bounce back once again, as this team has been doing all year after a very tough series at Fenway, where kind of nobody really stepped up after Friday, which was sad to see because they looked like they controlled the narrative with Alex Verdugo and Luis Gil after game one. So stay strong, folks. We have an off day today. You can kick back, relax, light up that cigar. Still best record in the league. Could be worse. Could be the Dodgers. You could have Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the IL. Mookie Betts with a broken hand. Chris Taylor batting 98. And a lot of other bigger problems. So we acknowledge that life is good here, but 6 weeks before the trade deadline, shape up, folks. Got to get stuff together. Some of these players got to turn it around to just become anywhere near league average. Anyway, that's it for today, everybody. My name is Thomas Carinante. You can find me at Tommy's_takes on Twitter. You can hit up again the Yanks Go Yard Twitter account at Yanks Go Yard FS. Please head on over to YanksGoYard.com. We got plenty of content there for you. We appreciate you tuning in. Please like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's where all of our video content is. You can have a great time going through that Rolodex. Adam and I have some good clips on there. And don't forget, Caesars is here. The promo code is YGY1000. Bonus bet up to $1,000. It's a lot of money. If you got the right bet, you got some inside information, be sure to use that risk-free bet. If something goes wrong, you get that money back, and then you can do it all over again. You ain't going to go 0-2, I can promise you that. Anyway, everybody, we'll talk to you again on Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, live right here, right before the finale of the Orioles series. Hope you guys have a good rest of your week. We will talk soon, and take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.